Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. The Old Testament reading for this, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded for us in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. It is the calling of Moses. And I'm going to take out a little bit of the middle section because the focus of the calling, or the purpose of having this text associated with our gospel reading, comes at the beginning and at the end, that God is, present tense, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We hear the word of the Lord. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in the second letter to the Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know whatever is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God shows you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm, and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to please stand as we join in the Alleluia and verse at the bottom of page 156. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The religious leaders of Israel are set against Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes have sort of stopped their direct confrontation of him, but instead they have set spies among the disciples to ask questions to try to trip him up. But the Sadducees, well, they're still ready to face him mano a mano. Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. The second and the third took her, and likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will this woman be? For the seven had her as a wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated as we join in hymn number 673, "Jerusalem, My Happy Home." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. People have lots of questions about what happens when we die. Where will we be? What will we be doing? Will I know everyone? Will my family still be my family? Lots of questions. And the truth is that the Bible doesn't actually give us a lot of answers in the detail that we like. We get glimpses of the life of the world to come the same way that we did last week on All Saints Day. No hunger, no thirst, no sin, nor death. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. It's good stuff. But inquiring minds like to know. But I think that trying to teach us about the next life is a bit like trying to teach a baby in the womb what life in this world is going to be for her. Besides still having lots of growing to do, she'll be the same mostly inside of the womb and out. And yet her life will be completely different. so too for us. The Bible says clearly that you'll be mostly the same person, and yet your life will be completely different. And yes, the difference will be for the better. But sometimes the questions are asked not for getting an answer, but rather the questions are asked because the person does not believe in the resurrection or the life of the world to come. They want to be absurd and ask questions that cannot be answered to prove that they're right in their belief. They want to win the argument so that the life of the world to come appears to be a hoax. And that's the case with the Sadducees. They didn't like Jesus. Together with the Pharisees and the scribes, they were constantly trying to discredit Jesus, to trip him up with their questions, and so it is here in our gospel reading today. The Sadducees were not interested in an answer because they did not believe in the resurrection. That's the first piece of information that we're given in our text. So they put their brain powers together. They used God's word, especially the direction concerning Levirate marriage, to try to prove their point. Now, Levirate marriage was commanded by God in the Old Testament, and it served for multiple reasons and purposes. Levirate marriage was put in place by God primarily to protect the women, to protect the heirs, and to protect the land and the legacy of the man who has died. The Sadducees, though, they weren't really looking for an answer. They were simply all proud of themselves for coming up with a question that'll prove them right and embarrass Jesus and show him to be the charlatan that he is. So, Jesus, answer this one. What's it going to be like? How will this kind of situation be unraveled? But as he has shown before, Jesus is really good at defusing such bombs. Our trickiness, our cleverness, it's not really all that tricky or clever. The answer is easy for Jesus. Marriage, the procreation of children, inheritance rights, your family name, all of that is part of this world and not the next. The next is different. You'll be the same mostly, but your life will be completely different. The effects of sin. The effects of sin like childlessness or like other things that cause all sorts of sadness here. The effects of sin that bring death, they'll be gone. That woman and those seven brothers, they are all sons and daughters of God. That's going to be their identity in the life of the world to come. And all are sons and daughters of the resurrection, and so they are inheritors of life. Because you see, you Sadducees, there is, in fact, a resurrection and a life after this one. And after this world ends, after your life here ends, God is still the God of the living. And by the way, Jesus says, that teaching is clear even all the way back to Moses. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had died and been buried for 400 plus years. God is still the eternal present, the eternal I am. And he does not say to Moses, I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as though those patriarchs are in the past. No. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are still living, even though they have been birthed from this life to the next. And it's that birth that you and I are looking forward to as well. Even if we don't know exactly what that day or new life will be like. Just as a new baby has lots of surprises once she's born into the world, she has lots to learn, there's lots of fun, and boy, it sure is fun as a parent watching your children discover and learn new things and experience new joys. To see the looks on their faces, the ahas are wonderful. And perhaps God will have that very same joy when he gets to see the look on your face when you get there and when you see the life he has in store for you. But for now, of course, our children experience not only a lot of first joys, but they experience first pains as well. Sin and evil, hurt and violence, and death. And the look on their face, you can tell it just doesn't make sense to them. Why? And oftentimes they'll come running to mom or dad for safety until they get used to it, until they see that it becomes just a part of life. But it's never just part of life. It was never intended to be a part of life. Sin and its effects, and especially the curse of death, is not the life as God intended it to be. It's an intrusion into life. It's an infection in our bodies, an invasion of evil into a world that God created good, an interruption of life by death. And none of it was meant to be. None of it had to be. But it is. Like it was for this poor woman we heard about today, who was shuffled along to six other brothers and still didn't have any children. You know, if you think about it, you probably know people like her. Perhaps not exactly in the same situation, of course. But somebody who's desperate for help, desperate in need of hope. The help and the hope that Jesus has come to provide. As strange as this world is to a newborn child, so it is to see Jesus in our world. I mean, don't get me wrong, we've gotten used to the story because we've heard it so often. But it is actually strange to have Jesus in this world, the sinless one in a sinful world, the one who is love in a world of imperfect and oftentimes selfish love, the one who came only to serve, not to be served, the one who came to lay down his life on the cross, so that by paying the price for our sin on the cross, paying it not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering death, to see him do that so sin no longer would really have its home in us and really have its no place in our life, to see that by dying his death, he also died your death, that your death might be overcome. You've heard the saying, oftentimes it's a Second Amendment saying, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hand. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus pried your life from death's cold hand when he rose from the dead. And that victory that he achieved, he gave it to you fully, when he washed you in the waters of holy baptism, when you became a child of the living one, not the God of the dead, when you became a child of life, a child already reborn, born again, born from above into a new life, a new life that you have now and a new life that will not end. Because now in Jesus, when you die, you will simply pass from life to life, from life in this world of sin and death to life in the world where there is no sin or death, only joy, only the perfection of the original creation, the life, the way our Heavenly Father designed it for us. But it's not just a future thing. Which means that even now, living in this world that is filled with sin and disappointment and hurts and pains and suffering and death and all kinds of evil, you have hope and you have help. You have a Father to run to. Because while all of these things can affect you, they can never overcome you. For you belong to the one who has overcome them all. The one who has come for you and who has rescued you. The one who has given you his name, given you his inheritance, an inheritance that lasts forever. And then the help and the hope that you have received, you also now can give to the likes of the poor woman we heard about today, or to anyone you know like her. Any who are in desperate need of help and hope, you have what they need. Not a strength or a quality or anything in you. You have what they need because you have Jesus. So give them Jesus. Give them his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his care, and above all, give them his word of promise and life. Give it not only in words, but give it through your time, through your attention, through your renewed love in Jesus. That woman the Sadducees asked about. In the resurrection, she will not have seven husbands, but what she will have is seven brothers in Christ. And among those brothers, also, she will be able to name Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and John and Jill and Jane and Jim. Any of your names. You're a part of that list too. Because baptized into Christ Jesus, you are now called children of God and you are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who died and rose to give you help and hope. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.